You are listening to the postcast presented by the Locked On Senators podcast after, well, a two-goal lead slipped away. I'm Ross Levitan alongside Brandon Piller, as always, and it's kind of the opposite of the game we saw against Pittsburgh, where this time Ottawa was able to come out, had a great first period, got a 2-0 lead, but Alex Ovechkin, the X factor once again. We'll get into all that, but Pillsy, like we start always on the postcast, what was your overall impression from tonight's game?
The Senators need to find some sort of way to win faceoffs. Like, we've been talking about it this season, but this is just simply unacceptable, Ross. Like, 28% in the faceoff dot. Like, it's amazing they were able to hold on to this game all the way to overtime up against a team like the Caps with that kind of faceoff percentage. So, for me, that's the glaring issue here, and it's been bad, but this is absolutely atrocious.
This was the fourth straight game against Ottawa that Alex Ovechkin finishes with two goals, going all the way back to when he scored on Andrew Hammond to score his 500th goal, which feels like so long ago, as now he's continuing his chase for the most goals all time. I think I saw a stat, it was his 155th multi-goal game.
Yeah,
this guy is a complete legend of the game, but no excuse tonight because both of his goals were right in front of the crease. How frustrating is that? You know, Ovechkin, he'll beat you on the power play from his one-timer position. He can score, he can skate, he can do all those things, but these are just simple plays where the defenseman out front just has to have his man. I guess Gambrell on the first one, but still, you have to tie that man up right in front.
Yeah, and the second one I think was even more glaring, Ross, because Thomas Chabot and Artem Zub were the two defensemen on the ice. Both of them puck watching, looking towards the boards. Ovi wide open. I mean, guys, check the game notes. Like, you cannot leave Ovi wide open, especially when it's your top two defensemen both right there, not watching him, and he buries that. No chance for Matt Murray on that one. And then, of course, as the Capitals have for a long time here, it's the Ovi and Backstrom show. Backstrom gets the winner.
It was so nasty, the patience, but the play that led up to it. Let's rewind, or should we go chronologically? What do you think?
Let's go chronologically.
All right. Well,
we can start with some positivity then. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it started well.
A glaring note of that first period, Ross, I thought the stats were off on the broadcast, but the Washington Capitals didn't get a shot until 17 minutes in.
Yeah,
the Sens were out shooting them 3-0 17 minutes into the first, and then the Caps get five shots on like that power play at the end. They really heated up there, and they end up getting 5-3 in the first period. That was a weird start to that game.
Yeah, no 5-on-5 shots for the Washington Capitals in the first period of that game, and Ottawa gets on the board first. Thomas Chabot, for all the unluckiness, if that's even a term, that he's had early on this season, his only goal was of the highlight reel variety down in Tampa Bay, where he went outside in and had a great tuck up and over the shoulder of Andrei Vasilevsky. But when you look at the goal he scored tonight, every defenseman's going to get a couple of those each year, you hope, or you like to think, especially one as talented as Chabot, just winds fire scores. I can only imagine that was Dean Brown's call on TSN 1200. But just through a maze of bodies as well, right? So that one, you get a little lucky, but once you score first, you're starting to feel good. And yeah, as Matthew points out, JBD was on the ice in that shift as well, and he just looks so solid back there. So
how many times are we going to say that, Ross? Low-key,
every game for the next 10 years.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, to be honest, I couldn't tell you like one standout play or anything like that, but just consistently, he's just doing all the simple things right. So yeah, I agree with Matthew there. Low-key, great game from JBD.
And Rosie's in the chat. Shout out to our Sun Central Citizen.
There we
from
go.
Last,
Sun Central Citizen. Love it.
Last week, all the way from Korea. And she makes a great point, too. Matt Murray was awesome. And we were hard on Matt Murray, especially for how the game in Pittsburgh and the 14 seconds they talk about the Sens during intermission. Are you kidding me? They talk about Pittsburgh giving him an ovation. Didn't even show a play from tonight's game. But that's an argument. Maybe that's a Monday Locked On Senators moment. Yeah. Although we will have another game to cover as the Senators are back in action tomorrow night. We're going to get to our Sen Central standouts. Again, if you miss any of the postcast, you can find it available to you wherever you get Locked On Senators. We appreciate everyone joining us in the chat. Win, lose, or draw, as close to a draw in the NHL as there are, as the Senators get 1 point in a 3-2 loss in Washington, a house of horrors for them, as they haven't won there since 2013. It's a
That's
long
10
time
straight
to
wins
go.
For the Caps. Yeah.
Yeah. And we know Ovechkin just dominates the Sens. He continued that tonight. But maybe the play of the game, at least if you're a Senators fan, maybe a save for Murray. Outside of Matt Murray, that play from Alex Formanton to set up Sanford for that second goal. Walk us through that one.
Man, this is a guy that is feeling it right now. And you can tell being able to have the confidence to pull that deke out. He dekes inside out on the defenseman. And then he does a really good job of getting behind the goal line. So now all eyes are on him. And that allows him to quickly dish it out to Sanford. And finally, Ross, we get some offensive output from Zach Sanford. But it's Alex Formanton that deserves all the credit on that play. That was just incredible. For me, I'll just quickly jump to it. Alex Formanton was my Sen Central standout. That Shocker. Play... Yeah, exactly. And then he had another play where he had a partial breakaway and he stopped up and then he fed it over to Timmy. That's when Timmy got absolutely destroyed, that cross check right in the numbers. And luckily that was called, but he just had a bunch of good plays. And I just, it's so hard not to just be so entranced by Alex Formanton's speed. Like as soon as he gets a couple steps going, you're like, here we go.
Yeah, and his ceiling just continues to rise and rise. That's now 13 points in his last 14 games, going Amazing. Back to his two-goal effort against Carolina that got them off the schneid on that awful losing skid or winless skid. And the forecheck was awesome tonight, not only from Formanton, but all the guys. I thought this was a fantastic game offensively and putting pressure on, but... Now we got to turn our attention to Alex Ovechkin, the grade eight. He gets on the board not once, but twice. What did you see on those plays, and how would you have preferred Ottawa to defend them?
Well, I mean, here's the thing with Ovi, right? Like, you can't give him any time and space, and his release is out of this world. Like, he's the greatest goal scorer we've ever seen. So, like, any time he has an opportunity in front of the net, likely he's going to be able to beat a goalie that's not ready. And especially if a defenseman's not able to kind of box him out a little bit or tie up his stick a little bit, he's just deadly there. So we kind of knew Ovechkin was going to score at least one goal here, Ross. But
he was minus money at betonline.ag to score.
Yeah, like clearly that's Vegas has picked up on that as well. But for Alex Ovechkin to single-handedly bring this team back from a 2-0 deficit, you don't love to see that.
No, he scores a minute and 39 seconds into the third period, and you're like, oh boy,
Yeah. Here
we go. It's 2-1 all of a sudden, and you start to clench up a little bit. You're holding the stick a little bit tighter. You're wondering what's next. Well, what was next wasn't obvious right away because Ovechkin scores in the slot, play goes on, and then it was one of those where the buzzer goes off in the rink because somebody upstairs said, that was clearly in. And Ovechkin gets his 29th of the season, playing at a ridiculous pace now at 35 years old. Truly incredible to watch, but it certainly doesn't take the sting away when it's against your team.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, as a hockey fan, you're like, wow, we're witnessing greatness, but you'd rather the greatness not go up against your team, especially when you got a 2-0 lead. Damn.
So a part of the reason why Washington was able to mount this comeback, and you touched on it right off the top, was the face-off percentage. And how can Ottawa get better at draws? This was just another masterful effort. There's no internal option at this point. Like,
nope.
Shane Pinto obviously was unbelievable in college, but even he struggled to turn into an NHL centerman. And that's been an issue. I mean, not only from that standpoint, but Tim Stützle, I tweeted it out, this guy just continues to struggle in the faceoff circle. 13% tonight. Yep. So was Josh Norris.
Yeah.
Tim Stützle has gone, like, since he started actually taking faceoffs a little bit more, at the start of the year, it was like one here, one there, but he seems to be taking about 8 per game the last 7 games. And in about 5 of them, he has 1 win on 8 each time. It can't continue, can it?
No, it really can't. And the thing too, Ross, is that one faceoff win he'll get will be one of those where, like, both centermen kind of fall on it and he gets it, right? Yeah. It's not like a nice, clean snap it back to the point and you've got a play started. You can cycle the puck, right? And other than the faceoffs, and DJ Smith, just seeing the quotes roll in here on Twitter, DJ Smith talked about it. He thought Tim Stützle had a really great game, and I would agree. Like,
yeah, me too.
When he's carrying the puck through the neutral zone, you know, like, the sky's the limit. Like, he's just able to cross the ice with ease, break into the zone. Like, he had a play where he started near the benches in Ottawa's zone, cut all the way diagonally across the ice. The rest of his line mates did a change, and he got a nice shot on goal. And that's a great way to keep the play moving and not have to worry about face-offs there, because the puck kept moving there. So I really like Tim Stützle when he's able to use his feet and when he's carrying the puck up the ice. But the face-off dot, that is a very, very real issue.
It's a long-term issue for Tim Stützle, whereas for Josh Norris, this is out of character for him. I thought the whole night was pretty out of character for Josh Agreed. Norris and that entire top line. Yeah, say what you want about being dashed too. I just thought, and we'll get to the overtime winner. We're kind of doing a slow burn, working our way up to it, but this is kind of a natural transition with Josh Norris. But what was your overall impression of his game tonight?
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe getting stitches on your face kind of affects you, and that's fair. But I just, he wasn't really in the game much. Like, I'm just going to quickly check, like, how many shots did he have? No shots for Josh Norris, a shoot first center that played 1941. Like, when's the last time we saw that? I can't think in recent memory. So, like, this is an off night for your top line. But at the same time, like, hey, I'm willing to throw these guys a bone. These are three young kids going up against the best lines every night. You're going to have a stinker here and there, and it's okay, because I thought that second line of Timmy, Formanton, and Sanford really picked up the slack, which is great. It's next man up, right?
But you really need some more secondary scoring. They just haven't gotten anything from their bottom six.
Yeah, that's the thing. And, you know, I love Waddy, but I don't think we need to have him on there for over 15 minutes. And he's been playing.
He was double shifting in the third period. It made no sense.
That's what I mean. Like, we love the guy, but that's outside of his role. And that's where you need players that can play that role, so Watson doesn't have to be elevated to that. And right now, like Clark Bishop, Adam Gaudette, those aren't the guys.
15 minutes for Austin Watson. That's got to be close to a season high at the very least. And Graham pointing out, rest in peace, the iPad. I made note on Twitter at Sen Central that, oh my God.
Tyler Ennis would be so furious if Norris broke the iPad. Oh my God.
I know. The two of them, they're always looking at it together too, but Norris absolutely loves the iPad. Now, without further ado, in overtime. So Norris, this is how overtime started. And I don't know if DJ listens to the show, but we always were making note, like, don't start.
We got our wish. Overtime. Yeah.
Don't start him. Like, perfect guy to come on mid shift, catch the other team sleeping. He snuck behind defenders before. We've seen him score breakaway goals in overtime, but Montreal, if you lose the faceoff, it's just a little bit risky having Brady out there in 3-on-3. He's not built for 3-on-3s, built for the playoffs. That being said, Norris takes the draw. And then right away, he changes and Batherson comes out there. So it's Drake and Stützle. So clearly DJ not trusting Stützle with an overtime faceoff at this point. And I don't blame him. But after they have their shift, which was all right, there's a couple of good chances both ways. Then the next shift comes out. It was off a faceoff. And it's Tkachuk and Norris that come out there. Shabbat obviously stays out there. But what did you think of?
I think Branny was on the ice at that point.
Oh, Branstrom changed?
Shot. I think so, yeah.
All right. That being said, it's besides the point because the play goes down the ice. Norris, how do he lose his stick? Next thing I know, he's skating the bench to get a new one.
I don't know what happened there. Yeah, so Tkachuk had the puck on the half wall on the boards, and he's trying to make a quick just side dish to Branstrom so Branstrom can break up. But it's not quite in Branstrom's real wheelhouse. It goes like behind the heel of a stick, which is okay because Josh Norris is right there. But then I don't think Josh Norris was expecting that pass. So he's a little lackadaisical with his stick. Like, it doesn't look like he's gripping it too tight. And then Nick Backstrom is just like, well, I'm not going to let you weakly try to exit your own zone in overtime. I'm going to play you hard on the puck here. And he just strips him there. And I mean,
do we know if Josh Norris got his own stick back at the, like, did the trainer give him a stick or was it one of the players?
I didn't see what happened there. Yeah, I'd have to check that replay there, but it was too easy of a play for Backstrom to pick that off.
It's a tough play for Tkachuk to make too with speed. If you read the ice, like, he put him in a pretty bad spot there.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. But I believe the pass was for Branstrom. It just didn't hit him in the right spot. Mm. And Branstrom was already breaking out. So not much you could do there. But I do want to credit, I thought Matt Murray played that pretty well. Like, that's just Backstrom beating you cleanly, right? Like, I thought Matt Murray stuck with it, but Backstrom, he's going to outweigh you, and that backhand sauce, top shelf, like, damn, not much you could do there.
So much time.
Yeah.
So much time. At some point, though, as the goalie, and Murray did kind of a double draw, or what do you say? A double clutch, where he held back. And
he bit on the one move, and then it was
No, but after the goal went in, he looked like he wanted to smash his stick right over the post, but
I don't blame him. That's a
third straight. He was awesome tonight. He made some great saves. Even just right before the goal, that play before, he made a great save on Ovechkin. And you're like, all right.
And the Tom Wilson breakaway save on the Caps PK. Damn, that was nice.
Yep. So that's natural into our Sen Central standouts. I'll go with Matt Murray, who had 30 saves tonight. And as a goalie-friendly show, we have to mention, too, like, how hard is it to go 15 minutes without a shot to start the game, and then all of a sudden you get five shots against you in a 30-second span?
It's incredibly hard, yeah. And, I mean, I joke about playing house league goalie, but that was one of the beauties of it. I was getting lots of shots. I didn't have to worry about that. But if you're a goalie, you're trying to keep yourself in the game, not only physically, but mentally. Like, it's tough to stay sharp when you're not being tested at all. So, yeah, no shots for the majority of that first period, and then just getting a flurry of them on the power play. Definitely kudos to Murray for standing tall there. And also one thing, Ross, and this is kind of what our eye test does with Murray. I thought his catching with his glove hand was really good tonight. We didn't see any of those off the palms or anything. He was scooping them and freezing it, which didn't end up being good for the faceoff. But what are you?
Who's your standout was Formington?
For me, yep.
Yeah, cool. So the Senators are back in action tomorrow. You don't have to wait long
to
see them back in action. Is it 5 o'clock start Eastern or
six? Yeah, it's a weird one.
Six Eastern. That's strange in itself. And stay tuned for the postcast. Hey, hit us with a thumbs up in the corner right now. It does go a long way. So we'd appreciate that, everyone going in the chat right now. And with that being said, now Matt Murray comes back tonight. Does he play tomorrow? I know the whole back-to-back things, but what does he need the rest for?
No, I'm firmly against playing goalie back-to-back unless it's absolutely necessary.
I'd play him.
Nah. You want to overextend
Matt Murray? If he can't play two games in a row, come on.
How many goalies do that, though? That's not a very common thing, other than the playoffs, obviously. Well, no, playoffs, you wouldn't play back-to-back.
No, you wouldn't have
back-to-back.
Exactly. He's played one game now in the last week?
Ross, I can't believe this is your take. A guy that we barely know at warmups if he's ready, and you want to push him back-to-back games? He might crumble. We don't know.
I don't know. I'd put him back. I mean, I would see. Obviously, he's your starting goal. You want to see if he's ready, if he's willing. But why not?
Yeah.
Right, you think he's going to hurt?
I just don't think it's a good idea. I think that's the last guy you would push to go back-to-back games, in my opinion, especially when...
If I was him...
Mid-season against Columbus.
In his situation, if I was him, I'd want to get right back in the net. I'd say I was so close to getting a win. I played well. Like, I'm in the zone. We're just flying to Columbus from where they are. It's like, what, hour
It's not
flight?
Bad. Yeah,
it's not bad at all. They'll get in. They'll be in bed by 12:30. Get a little 30-minute skate in tomorrow morning and be ready to go tomorrow night. That would just be a mentality of my starting goalie. I'd want him to want the net that bad. But if they go with Forsberg, if they go with Gus, whatever. But I think it would be good for him to get back in there.
Yeah, hey, don't get it twisted. I would love for Matt Murray to go back-to-back games and kind of bounce back and get a win. That'd be great, but I'm not sure that's the best move.
There's nine sets of back-to-backs left in the season. At some point, he's going to have to play both.
Especially if and when they trade Forsberg. Like, that could definitely be a possibility, yeah.
Yeah, so Forsberg backed up today. Do you think it would be natural, if Murray doesn't start, that they go with Forsberg?
Yeah, and I think...
And then Gus doesn't play for another year again.
Exactly, yeah. Well, they got to get him back down to Belleville, but Belleville doesn't play till next Friday, so there's no sense sending him down there unless you want to save some dollars, which I guess makes a lot of sense for
the JBD effect. Senators.
Yeah, so I think you go Forsberg, and finally, Forsberg, like, this is a good opportunity. You're setting Forsberg up to succeed here, right? Up against the Columbus Blue Jackets. He knows in advance he's going to start that game, so that's where I would go.
All right, fair enough. We'll see soon, because the Senators are in Columbus tomorrow night. How are the Blue Jackets doing, Pilsy? Do you have that at the top of your of your mind yet?
No, I don't. But I remember last time you asked this, they just got destroyed like 9-0. So
that 9-2 to the 9-2. Florida okay. Panthers. Then yeah. they beat Philly, who doesn't, except for Ottawa. They lost in overtime. They beat them 2-1. And then they just lost 5-2 yesterday to the same Pittsburgh Penguins that beat Ottawa 6-4 the other night. So they're going to be waiting at home. They played Pittsburgh at home. So they're in the middle of a 4-game homestand right now with Ottawa coming to town. They're just kind of like a win one, lose one kind of team. They've alternated yeah. wins and losses now over their last 7 games. That would mean they're due for a win. But if we're going to be positive, I think tomorrow is a good opportunity for Ottawa to maybe get a 2 or 3 goal win. Hopefully that top line comes back pissed off after the not effort. I don't want to question their effort, but after their results tonight. And you hope that you can get a good one, because I think the Sens should match up well tomorrow night against the Blue Jackets.
I agree. Yeah, this is definitely a game you're looking at and you're saying, all right, we just played Washington. We just played Pittsburgh. This is a bit of a break for us and we should be able to beat this team.
I should mention as well, and I appreciate Tanny17 putting out stick taps to Zach Sanford, and you gave him a bit of credit. Like, that was Ottawa's top line tonight, no question yep. about it, and I thought Sanford really did well in a tough situation, right? That's Connor Brown's spot. We mm-hmm. don't know how many more games he'll miss. It'll probably be another 2-3 weeks before we see Connor Brown in the lineup, so it's an opportunity for somebody to come up, step up, and take over that spot alongside Stutzla and Formanton. Unfortunately, he's not much of a face-off guy. Otherwise, I'd tell him to go and snap some back here as Timmy goes 13% tonight. Norris goes 13% in the circle. The Senators go 20%
28.
Jesus, that is not...
Any number in the 20s is not okay.
No, not okay. They get outshot 33-22. They got outshot in each period tonight, including one where Washington didn't get an even strength shot. They yeah, still get outshot that brutal. Period.
Oh, man.
So there's a lot of negativity that you could pull if you wanted to, but there's also a lot that you could look at the bright side on in tonight's loss. They get a point. Matt Murray played well. Jacob Bernard-Docker played well. I thought Branstrom had a decent game as well. Shabbat yep. was awesome. Nick Holden, as 21-5 points out in the comments as well. He was great. Caleb pointing out that Murray was great. Hopes he sweeps the Pens next year in the postseason. That'd Wouldn't be that be nice? That's a great note to leave off on as we dream of years ahead where the Senators are going to make the playoffs and be a competitive team, Pilsy, because – these losses, they're starting to weigh on me again, man. I know it's not November. They're playing better. They're 7-5-2 now since that loss against Vancouver that started off December. But I'd like to see a stretch here where they could string together 4, 5, 6 wins at a time.
That would, yeah, again, that would be great. But I think still this is another game, Ross, where other than the face-off disaster, I think the process was there, right? Like, yeah, you want to get a little more offense, but they held their own, and Murray was a big difference maker here. So these are the kind of games where it sucks to lose and it sucks seeing those results, but they're getting there. We're working here.
The core is certainly in progress, and yep. you hope you see Shane Pinto. Quickly before we go, the Nodak Sens lost again. 4 straight losses for them, and like, I'd love to see them do well, but...
Yeah, either they do early. Really well or really poorly. Like, we don't want to see a middle Nodak team that just gets bounced in, like, the second round or something, right?
Exactly, and they're not going to have Jake Sanderson for, like, 8 games coming up. As the Olympics are sneaking up, by Monday's Locked On Senators, we might have Team Canada's official roster. Names are coming out left, right, and center. But let's leave on this here. 21-5, just had a Built Bar before bed. That does cheer me up. I do nice. Appreciate that big time. Sean pointing out that Sanderson just wants to go pro. I would argue that. I'd say he wants to help out his teammates at the level he's at. He seems like a real team first guy. Zach pointing out that Branstrom, yes, he was more quiet tonight. He also had probably his best game in the NHL last game. So yep. you expect a bit of regression. Let's hope that tomorrow against Columbus is all good. And Graham making note that winning sessions are in the future. All right. Well, tonight was not one of them. The Senators lose 3-2, the final score. Ovechkin has a pair. Backstrom, the overtime winner. Matt Murray, though, stood tall in the Senators' crease. He made 30 saves and was a star on this podcast, as was Alex Formanton. Tomorrow, there'll be new stars and hopefully a win to talk about as the Senators are in Columbus to take on the Blue Jackets. Let's get a Go Sens Go in the chat on the way out. For Brandon Piller, I'm Ross Levitan. This has been the postcast following a 3-2 overtime loss to the Washington Capitals. Have a good night, Sens fans, and get some sleep because we're going to do it all over again tomorrow.